Welcome to Release to Revive.
This is where we talk about you and your energy, how to manage your energy physically, emotionally, and spiritually.
Welcome, welcome. I'm Jackie Gith, and today I have a special guest for you guys, which I've been so excited to bring on board. Her name is Olivia Sage, and she is a somatics relationship coach. So if you've been wanting to juice up your relationship with either like the people you're seeing, maybe you're in a long-term relationship, maybe you just want to connect deeper with the other people around you. It doesn't have to be an intimate relationship as well. So might be your family members and your friends even. This conversation is so powerful because she dives into how we strengthen the relationship with ourselves and how that mirrors so powerfully into the, like, you can see it in the other relationships, and she explains how that works. It's phenomenal. And the emotional availability you have for yourself too, that then mirrors back the emotional availability they will have for you. We dive into emotional mastery in that sense as well, so you know your own, how you're feeling, how to regulate that, and the ability to take up space, like be a human that's here now, open, receptive, not afraid to, yeah, take up space in a room, take up space in the world, make yourself known. And she has a really cool experience she mentions with like observing women doing certain exercises and observing their hearts opening, observing their auras growing and expanding and their energies just totally shifting. And at the end as well, we dive into a little bit of this sexy stuff. So like a bit of more juicy tips on how to shift that intimacy to the next level for you and your partners and the people that you're seeing in that sense as well. Before I get into it, what's happening with Release to Revive? Remember, we've got a 7-day somatic journey, which is filled. It's like a more of a mind-body toolkit for the entrepreneurs, for you guys that are big dreamers, the creatives, the courageous souls, you soul-led leaders, my sisters, you guys. It's for you to help you regulate your nervous system, to help you understand yourself as well, to help you really ignite that fire in you again through different journal prompts, somatic practices, and hypno tracks as well in there for you. So that's only $96, and it's on my site now. So you can go to releasetorevive.com and get yours there. And then there's some bigger mentorships coming up too to really ignite your feminine fire. So look out for those. Magnetic Me, DM me if you're interested. I'll let you know the details. Release to Revive on Instagram or at Jackie Gith, you can find me. Jackie Gith, J-A-C-K-I-G-I-T-H. Now let's get into the juicy conversation with Olivia Sage.
Welcome. Welcome to the world of Release to Revive, Olivia.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So relationships are so important in our life. And I remember a study that they did for like 80 years, which is the longest study, I think, on like adult development that was there. It was through the Harvard University. Mm-hmm. And I remember one of the key takeaways from that study was the relationships, and like the people that are the happiest and the healthiest were, no matter of like background, they had like a whole people variety of like coming from either not so privileged or privileged, or also if they then end up doing well or not well in career-wise, like that didn't really matter so much on their health and happiness. It was more the relationships that they built and like the depth of them, which I find so fascinating. But yeah, I'd love your take on it. Like, what do you see in that?
Yeah, no, I love that. And I'm honestly not surprised, because we're all relational beings and we're built to survive, right? And when you look at the past, like how we survived in the tribes, right? When we lived in the jungle as a tribe, we actually are survival dependent on each other, right? And everybody had a role. And that's why we say like, it takes a village to raise a kid, right? It's all like built in us to support each other. And everybody has a role to go hunt. And then we come together around the fire, we tell stories, like to connect with each other. And I think like it literally, I think, strengthens our immune system. And you know, like you said, it doesn't matter like where you're from and you know how much you're making or your business, what you do, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, I think we're all looking for connection to ourselves and to each other. And yeah, I definitely, yeah, I'm so happy they did that story, that study, and I hope more and more people, you know, awaken to that truth.
I love that you also said though the connection to ourselves and others, because the connection to ourselves is also obviously key. I'm curious with your story, like, do you want to let us in a little bit on how you kind of stumbled upon this sort of work and what you're like, did you experience it first in your life and then you were got really passionate about it, or how did that happen?
Yeah, I learned it the hard way. Like we all
Yeah, we always
right?
want to help those that we've kind of, stumbled into it ourselves, haven't we?
Absolutely. So I think I was telling you a little bit that like I grew up in Turkey, you know, with a family where, you know, they had their own, of course, traumas and experiences. And of course, we have our ancestral stuff that's coming down, you know, generations. So growing up, I had everything that I needed in terms of like shelter and food and stability in terms of like economics and good schools and stuff like that. Like my mom is a teacher, my dad is a police chief. So they were like, you know, above average, we were good. But when it came to connection and relationships and emotional availability, it was I would say below zero, right? I grew up in a very emotionally unstable home, a lot of uncertainty emotionally again, and then living in a country where it's like heavily Muslim with a lot of like rules, and there was so many layers that were put on me that I felt like, you know, I had to reject a lot of parts of myself, you know, what we call like fragmentation. So I started going really away from who I truly am, like lost my essence. And I say it. So throughout that journey, I realized that, you know, I was not in the right environment. So I did move to States and I did remove myself from that, you know, environment. But the thing is, you know, whatever you live through, it stays in your body, right? You work with somatics as well. Everything is in my body. So it did help a little bit, open up my, you know, like world and, you know, just interacting with people from all around the world. Like in New York, it's like the melting pot. So, but then I ended up in a very unhealthy marriage and it took me a while to get out of that. So once I realized that, you know, that was that relationship and the suffering I was going through literally was just, you know, reflecting back at me what I needed to heal inside. So I had, of course, I'm sure everybody's familiar with the dark night of the soul, right? When my son was 2 years old, I had that. And I remember thinking like, I was like, I checked all the boxes. Like I made my mom happy. I made my dad happy. I made my husband happy. I'm such a good wife, such a good mom. You know, I did my master's and all that. Like, and you know, I moved to Miami. Like, I took the leap, and you know, I live. You know, I was changing things, but it was like all outside of myself. So inside, I felt really like empty and disconnected, and disconnected from myself, from my body, from my purpose. So that day changed everything. I decided to get a divorce. I decided to really go on this journey of peeling all those layers of inauthenticity and kind of integrating the parts of myself that I had to reject to survive, to belong, growing up. So from there, changed my whole life, and I stumbled upon a lot of different tools that helped me, you know, expand and blossom more and more and more. And then I was like, wow, like this work is so powerful. And throughout my own healing journey, I also found my purpose, which is helping other women, you know, do the same thing, because I wish I had me when I was in that situation at the back in, you know, 7 years ago. So now my purpose is just to be that person for women who need that support, who need the tools to really come home to themselves, you know, improve their relationship with themselves, so it can reflect on their relationship with other people, money, life, everything.
Yeah. I think that's why it's so important to share our stories. Like, that was beautiful. Thank you. Because I think if someone sees you now, like, you're such a vibrant human. And if they're in that more like lower end of whatever their experience is, I feel like it's just, they need that reference point. But then hearing the story that you were there too, and you understand, and you were in that position as well, they're like, oh my God, it could be like that for me. Like, that there's that real inspiration and evidence. So thank you. With the, like, when you said that day changed my life, when you would like then decided to make those actions of like divorcing, for example, what happened in that day? Was it just like that realization that you had, something happened where you just kind of like, right, drawing the line in the sand, like, this is not, I'm focusing on myself?
Yeah, I think I'm the kind of person who really commits to something. Like, when I commit to something, I commit all, you know, I'm all in. I'm like very impeccable with my word. Like, The Four Agreements is one of like the first books that I recommend to my clients. So like,
which
I
one,
took
sorry?
That really
seriously. Can you say that title again?
Four Agreements.
Four Agreements. Yeah.
One of the agreements is that you're impeccable with your word, right? And so when I got into that marriage, I was very committed to making it work. And I went through very hard times. Like, I had two miscarriages back to back, and before I had my son. So, but I, you know, I was like, yeah, I can get through this. We can get through this. And I was really committed to making it work. But then I was not happy. Like I said, I was getting very disconnected, unloved. And then I think it was that night was the night that I made a decision, right? And that's what I tell people, that it starts with that decision. Like, making the decision to do something is a big part of changing your life, changing your relationship. Right? Mm-hmm. Once you say, this is not who I want to be, I want to be someone else. I want to be someone who loves herself. So I decided that day that I actually lacked a lot of self-love. I didn't love myself. And it's funny because I even didn't get out of that marriage for myself. What I saw that day was my son was miserable too. Like, all day I had a bad day because, like, I saw that my son was suffering because of my relationship with my husband at the time. So, and I realized, like, I am giving so much to him, and still he's like unhappy because he's getting caught up in this like mess between me and my ex. And I was like, no, no, I love my son too much to let him stay in this environment. So I did it for him. So it was like the catalyst for my journey, actually. And then it was realization of like, what would happen if I give all this love that I'm giving to him and my ex to myself, right? Yeah. And so realizing that everything's a mirror, right? The more I wanted to get love from my ex, the less love I got, and the more disconnected I felt. So I was like, okay, I learned that everything's a mirror. I'm like, okay, if I'm not getting emotional availability from him, if I'm not getting connection from him, what is this telling me about me? And I was like, oh, I don't be emotionally available to myself. I am not connected to myself, right? That realization and understanding of that rule of everything is a mirror, right? You know, made me take responsibility and for myself.
Yeah.
That decision changed everything from inside out.
I resonate with that so much because I had a moment, me and my partner have been together for a while, like 14 years now, I think, which is awesome. Like, we have an incredible relationship. There was a little bit of a crumbly spot at one point, but I remember from that, like, even now, sometimes things prop up and I'm like, oh, what's that? That's weird. And it was just like this one moment in a dream that I had recently where it was like, I felt like I wasn't number one. And I was like kind of being treated as number two. Okay. So that was the situation in the dream. And then I woke up and I was like, oh, it was so clear to me that I was like, where am I putting myself second? And me being a mum now too, that's huge. Like I see mums do it all the time. And I was like, okay, like obviously you have to care for your child. They need you. But where, I get goosebumps now again talking about this. like where am I putting myself and how? And then I have to switch that question again. I was like, how can I put myself first more? And in this way, in this way. And then that's just like when the right things came to me, which was so cool. So I totally get that.
Yeah, I learned to ask this question, and I tell this to my clients as well when they're like trying to make a decision and they don't know which way to go, right? In their relationships, like you said, something like that with their kids and everything. And I'm like, just ask yourself this very simple question. What would someone who loved themselves do? Right. And at that moment, feeling so much love for yourself, just think of someone who you know that love themselves and put themselves first, right? And love themselves do, and then like just listen and you'll always like find the right answer.
Yeah,
when you're coming from your heart, your soul, not like, oh, I'm supposed to be a good mom and yeah, I'm supposed to do this,
ticking all the boxes like you were saying earlier. Yeah. I want to go back as well to that part of your story where you were like, I think I just made a decision. But I think the key there too was what I see anyway. You were like, right, I need to be the kind of person that loves themselves. So that like you were deciding what kind of person you want to be. Because I feel like sometimes we make decisions where it's just like, oh, I want to do this or do that. Like it's not like a who do I want to be, which is again back to that like body somatics embodiment kind of angle. But I'm curious as well, because like I've been in such a long-term relationship, but also you working with a whole bunch of different people and women in their relationships, like what do you see is like the key of, is it this self-love or is there something else around it as well that kind of helps these relationships evolve, grow, be more supportive and loving and thrive in the end?
Yeah, I think self-love is a big part of it, you know, loving yourself, self-love and connection to yourself and really emotional mastery, understanding your own emotions, right? Because if you don't understand your own emotions, it's hard to understand another human's emotions.
Yeah.
And it's very easy, right? Knowing that whatever is you're hearing, seeing, feeling outside of yourself is a reflection. So like you did, you know, what you said was such a beautiful thing. You didn't have a dream and then go and start a fight with your partner that like, you know,
learn that like doesn't work. I've been there.
So you were asking yourself, okay, where am I putting myself second? How can I shift from inside out, right? So that is a big and I think when it comes to like outside of yourself, so that's more like inward, right? Loving yourself, staying connected to yourself, connected to your body, your heart, your passion, your purpose, right? Because relationship is just one part of our lives. You know, I started as a life coach and it's like there's seven areas of your life, and a lot of people tend to put all their values and life and effort and energy into the relationship, and that puts a lot of pressure on the relationship and a lot of pressure on your partner, because you're putting all of your needs on your partner, and it's not realistic to expect your partner to fulfill all your needs. They probably don't know what they are, because if you don't know what they are and if you're not giving that to yourself, or if you don't know how to communicate your needs, it's not realistic for your partner to, you know, fulfill those needs. He doesn't know, you don't know, right? But outside of that, I think when it comes to the interpersonal relationship, I think really accepting your partner as who he is at that moment, and also having the capacity to hold his growth and expansion. Because how many times do you hear like, oh, he changed and she changed and blah, 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 right? Because yeah, we're supposed to change. We're supposed to grow. And you either grow together or grow apart, right? And there's a few things, I think, in relationships that cause that growing apart or growing together. And one of the things is, like, I think lack of self-esteem. It's scary. Like, change is scary because it's unknown, right? You don't know what you're changing into or what your partner is changing into. So you're kindly, you know, you need to learn how to lean into that unknown and lean into trust and faith in yourself, in your relationship, in that person and God, you know, whatever you believe in, to be okay and grow together and really do that dance of, you know, like, we're in this together, okay, you know, just do the check-ins. Where are you going? Where are we going? Do we still have a, you know, vision together for our lives, for our relationships? So communication is a big point.
Yeah. And I think being like honest and open in that communication is obviously key too. Otherwise you just kind of, there's a cloud, foggy cloud.
Take courage though. You know, people are like, yeah, you need to have good communication. You need to be vulnerable. But you know how many times I also work with men and it's like, you know how many times a man says, oh, I shared this with my partner and she said, oh, that's weird.
That's that uncertainty again, isn't it? Like when you're kind of going and having interesting and explorative conversations, you kind of gotta be open to it.
Also, I think land in our own self-esteem, self-love and confidence to, and learn like emotional mastery again, holding space for men, right? Because women are like, yeah, men need to be more vulnerable, and then we also need to learn how to hold that, because it can be a lot. A lot of times feel like it, and that's why they don't share.
And like being emotional too, I feel like, I mean, not emotional, vulnerable, it's not like that. I'm going to tie this in with because you keep saying like it's a reflection of you, it's a reflection, a mirror, right? Everything's a mirror. And I find that so powerful as well. When I came across that, it's that really big piece where you can kind of take your power back. Otherwise, you're just constantly looking at outside sources or trying to change outside sources, and it's just like not happening. And then, but also you're giving the power away to those other people in those outside of you as well, which I found really strong to like switch those questions. How can I change it to shift it, right, from the inside? And I'm curious, with the vulnerable piece then too, like when being vulnerable, it's more of like a, because I feel like it can be misunderstood. Do you see this happening? Like when you're having those vulnerable conversations, instead of just saying like you're still holding your power in it, but you're speaking what you truly think and want to say, not just like being vulnerable as in like, oh, I need you to save me and help me. You know what I mean? Like that kind of scenario.
It's so important because I got it. I think when we're vulnerable, when we're sharing, I think the intention is to be like, we all want to be accepted, right? We are, a lot of people wobble in self-acceptance, right? There are parts of that's how it, that affects self-love and, you know, self-esteem and self-worth and self-confidence. I think like really understanding, like I was talking about the fragmentation, right? Really looking, shedding light on those parts that we had to reject to be accepted in the society and the family and the, you know, media and the school and the neighborhood, like we lived in. Like really looking and picking the pieces of yourself and integrating those parts, that can be scary. And the more we grow, especially if when you're growing with a partner and you're like, hey, I just found out and this part of myself that I was missing, and now I'm going to embody that, I'm going to be more sensual, I'm going to be more sexual, like that can be a little bit like scary for your partner. And you know, I've had this in my, you know, marriage, which I ended, but it was, looking back, I realized that yes, it was scary for him that I was growing so fast. Right. And right now in my current relationship, like when I share something or when my partner shares something, it's like not about like fixing anything, not about being apologetic about it, right? Like you said, owning your own power. And it's like, I accept myself no matter what. Right? I am integrating this part of myself, or I am gonna try this new thing. And it's not like, can I go do, like, are you gonna be okay if I go do this thing, right? no, like I am doing this. I am, this is who I am. This is what I'm integrating. This is what I'm, you know, like leaning towards right now, expanding this way. And it's just about, like you said, like a communication, vulnerability, connection, and you're not going to ask permission for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're just letting,
letting
but I think, yeah. Nervous system regulation, like the core regulation, comes into play here, because we also need to hold our partners. You know, I mean, I think it's important to know your partner's triggers and wounds. So if I'm telling something to my partner about my business and I'm expanding and I'm investing in myself, and just my partner's like, yeah, go for it, absolutely, like, you know, and then it can be something like, you know, something different, and it can be a little raw for him, it can be a little bit more like scary or tender, right? Mm-hmm. So it's important to also communicate that they're not going to get left behind,
yeah,
right? And you want to still do this together.
Yeah, it's not like an avoidant kind of, oh, I'm doing this, see you later. And from the somatic approach, I'm really curious, like, what do you see in helping, let's say, someone that is a bit, I don't want to use stuck, but just leaning into their masculine a little much, or could take like a little bit more feminine injection into their life, I guess. Where do you take them, and what do you do with them first, usually? Like, how do you approach that?
Thing is anchors. Like I do, you know, somatic nervous system resets, but if you don't have tools to anchor and really, you know, regulate your nervous system, it can be too much and too abrupt. So I think the first thing I do is reparenting and soothing tools. And it's so simple but so powerful. Even like, I think yesterday I had like two clients back to back, and I'm very intuitive, and it's like I give different tools at different times depending on what we're working on, what I'm seeing and feeling at that moment. But a lot of soothing, actually, a lot of like nervous system regulation, a lot of reparenting, because in this work I found that, you know, a lot of us didn't have the parents that we wanted to have, and a lot of us didn't have the support and the connection and love or approval that we were seeking as children from our parents. So I think the most important tool I see has been teaching them how to reparent themselves from a somatic perspective.
Yeah. And that's like certain exercises then, or what does that look like?
Yeah, usually, you know, it's, I love Peter Levine and somatic experiencing. So yeah, it can look like, you know, giving, so one of them is, you know, you put your right hand underneath your left armpit next to your heart, and then the left hand comes to the right arm. So you hold yourself tight. It just helps you, and take a deep breath, right? And then here, whatever is overwhelming feeling you're feeling, it's like it's contained, like you feel like you can contain it, it's not overwhelming anymore, right? And when you close your eyes and maybe bring your chin towards your chest, take another deep breath in, connecting to your heart, and then it can be a little bit like rocking side to side or back and forth, whatever feels right to your body right now, whatever feels more soothing to your nervous system. And really rubbing your, you know, your arm, holding yourself firm, and just really feeling that support that you can lean into, a beautiful, sweet, nurturing space within yourself. Taking deep breaths, maybe sighing it out. And you can experiment with side to side as well. And I also add on sometimes humming. So when you breathe in, you can hum it out. And this is really beautiful before bed, before you go to sleep. You can try the humming too if you feel called to, taking a deep breath in and really humming it out. And then let your body land whenever it's ready in the center. Feeling the connection to your heart. Taking another deep breath there. Or two. And I usually end these sessions, these little tools, with little affirmation, whatever is coming up for you right now. For me, it's usually like, I love myself, or I talk to myself saying, you are safe, you are loved, you're enough.
That was beautiful. Oh, if you were driving, hopefully you just pulled aside and just did that for yourself. Oh, I love how we just effortlessly like went into that too. There was no like prep. We were just like, yeah, we're doing this. Oh.
Yeah, working with the clients, I really like to go deep and we really unroot stuff that they're usually crying when we are transitioning to this. We need to be held, and we go to those moments, literally moment by moment. I take them to those times that they needed to be held. They needed to hear that, like, I got you, like, I got your back, and I love you, and you're enough. And usually, unfortunately, most of us heard the opposite of those things. And there are a lot of moments where we needed this. You know, we needed what we're doing right now, this parenting from our parents, but now that we're adults, you know, it's not our fault what happened to us, but it is our responsibility to heal. And I talk a lot about, you know, how we are not just healing ourselves, but our nervous system is so connected to up to 14 generations before us and after us. And especially if you're a mom or if you're planning to be a mom, you know, it's so powerful to know, like, you are the cycle breaker in your family, and it's your responsibility now that you're aware of it. If you're listening to this, like, sorry, it's like, it's too late. You almost like have to do it. Like, it's almost like your life depends on it.
Yeah.
You do it, and then you stop that cycle and, you know, leave something different, leave a different legacy for your child and your grandkids and, you know, for the future generations.
Yeah, that reflection is so obvious in my son. Like, whenever I'm a little dysregulated, it's like I can tell right away. It's so, so powerful to just be like, okay, come back to me. Where, how do I chill out? So then he chills out.
These are such beautiful mirrors. It's like,
but our nervous systems actually like talk to each other too. That's the whole social connection, isn't it? Yeah,
you know how they say, oh, like, the kids will do what you do, what not what you say. It's actually true and so much deeper than that, because they're not just like looking at you, but they are, like you said, they're feeling you. Their nervous system is connected to your nervous system, and it's like it's core regulation. And it is so powerful. It made me cry the other day, because my son is 9 now, and, you know, he's been kind of like been in my world, of course, for the, you know, all his life, and seeing me do yoga and the sound healing, like, he plays my bowl and the, you know, instruments. He's just like, you know, breath work, you know, tapping, like, he knows he's in it. And sometimes, you know, of course, I'm human too, and sometimes, oh my god, we're late, you know, like, sometimes I panic, things happen in life, and it's okay, take a deep breath. And he helps me. He guides me through breathwork, and he really helps me come back to myself and, like, helps me regulate, because, you know, I see how powerful it is. Giving him tools is not just for him, but also he's reflecting that back too, not just, you know, dysregulated, but he can also remind me. Or if I'm late to a call, I'm like, Leo, can you bring me like my water, please? And I have to jump on the call. And it's like, Mommy, remember what Alan Watts says? Like, it's all a play, like, call it play. And I love that quote. And he knows like four. And he's like, it's all play. I'm like, you're right. Thank you for the reminder.
That's so good. Imagine the ripple effect as well. Like him and his friends and him being that, yeah, regulated friend for them. That's amazing.
Yeah. And that's how we change the world too, you know. It's not just our clients. If you have a child, it's like he's touching so many people's hearts, and you know, yeah, he's in his, you know, teachers and friends and so many people in his life. He thought, like, my mom actually never said I love you. Like, my parents don't know how to say it, right? Of course, yeah, I know they love you, but they wouldn't say it. And when my son was born and he started talking, which he started talking really early, and he started saying I love you to my mom, and my mom would like freeze and just say something like, yeah, me too. And then really my son opened up my mom, and my mom actually started saying I love you.
Oh,
After
cool.
that, so it's like, you know, it's just like so connected and such big work, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, big ripple effect.
Yeah. I did want to dive in as well, because I feel like as well, when we say relationships, the first thing that always comes to mind is like, you know, a love relationship with like a partner. But obviously it's relationship with your mum, with your son, with your friends, with all the people that you maybe just even contact throughout the world and the time. I remember actually as well, something just popped into my head, so I'm just going to share it. When I was at the shops and I would see, it always saddened me when I would see like majority women, sometimes guys do it too. They'd walk around and they'd be hunched shoulders, and then like you'd almost bump into each other and they'd go, oh, sorry, 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 sorry. And then they'd keep walking. And I was always like, just say, oh, hi. And we could have a conversation. Like I was always like, wow, it's so strange that people were like so scared to take up space almost in that body and like walking around, and that sorry is like their go-to. I find that so fascinating. And sad as well. Like I'm like, what do we need to do to shake you up a little bit and go, oh, okay, I can take up space. Do you find that as well? Yeah. Like how do you navigate that, do you think, to make new friends, new connections, and help people build that confidence?
Right. Yeah, I think it's really embedded in us, right? Walking on eggshells. A lot of us walked on eggshells growing up. So, you know, I was talking to a different client, I think a few days ago, and she was saying that, you know, unfortunately, she grew in a culture where like her dad was beating them up a lot, and she never knew she did wrong, and she had to go apologize, or, you know, she had to like not fight that so that, you know, she doesn't get beat up worse. And she always, her and her sister always walked on eggshells in the house, because it's like they don't know when the dad is gonna explode and, you know, start hitting them.
Yeah.
So, and it doesn't have to be like a physical abuse, but, you know, emotional, mental, unfortunately, consciously or unconsciously, our parents kind of messed us up in one way or another. And I think that I see in women especially is like, we were hushed a lot, like, shh, like our voices didn't matter. And our bodies, like there's a lot of shame around sexuality and sensuality. Like me, for example, you know, I like to give examples from myself most of the time, but like growing up in Turkey, and a lot of things I say, oh, because I grew up in Turkey, they're like, no, 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 no. Like it's everywhere. There's a lot of pressure from religion as well, like in America too, you know? And I was like, yeah, I, you know, I always wanted to hide myself, hide my body, and not to, unfortunately, because in Turkey, like, even if you get raped or something, it's like your fault almost for wearing a short skirt or whatever. So for me, there was a lot of shame around like being a tall woman and confident woman. So I also like really remember trying to hide my body, hide myself, and you know, and it affected me so much that it took me a while actually, and my nervous system a while to create that safety, right? To feel safe. My power was one of the biggest works I had to do, and I've done, and I teach. So where I go with that is like really creating safety and trust from within. And from there, like knowing that you're safe to be in your power, you're safe to speak up your truth, you're safe to take up space. When I was teaching yoga back in 2016, I did my 200-hour yoga teacher's training. And then my teacher was trained in Iyengar yoga, which is a little different than, you know, Vinyasa Yin. Like, it's a little different. It's not so much of a flow. But what we did was, like, to stand in Tadasana, like the mountain pose, and touch the fingers. And we would jump and spread our legs and arms right there, like that, okay? And then poses. And you go to the other side. It's, like, very systematic and, like, you do the right side and you do the left side, and you need to be really in good alignment. So from there, I also did some like yoga therapy trainings as well. But this was like a 1,000-hour training, even to apply for certification. And I went through all that. And I remember jumping and opening like my arms and legs and felt my heart open, like literally just jumping, taking up that space, feeling my heart open. And I looked at all these women in front of me, and I realized they all had a little bit of that like shyness or like lack of, you know, confidence, that it was hard for them to take up space.
Yeah.
So I found myself very intuitively saying things like, take up space, go bigger, open your heart. And like, I started saying like, take up space, take up space, take up space. And then I saw them like, almost like their shoulders relaxing, their heart opening, and they're doing taking up more space, literally, physically. Yeah. And I saw their like aura expanding and their energy shifting. And it was just so beautiful to watch, right? Yeah. So that's when I realized I'm actually really good at like creating safe spaces, right? I teach breathwork in person now. And, you know, a lot of people come and say, you know, oh, I've been doing breathwork for 10 years, but like, I don't know what this was, but this was different. Mm. And I techniques, and I do combine NLP, and it's very guided and coaching and this and that. But at the same time, I think one of the biggest difference is that safety that I create for people to actually really feel safe in their body, in their power, in their breath, to take up space, to use their voice and all that. So that's where I usually start, right? It was a long answer, but
no, that's I think awesome.
Important.
Yeah. That's so cool. I can relate to that again as well. I remember being in high school many years ago, obviously now, but I would like, it was in a dance performance, and I would watch people. Some were like, kind of like a little bit, you could tell they were a little bit embarrassed, and they were kind of just half-assedly doing the poses, and they were kind of like, yeah, okay. And then you'd see the ones that were full in, like both feet in. And I know that the coach we currently are with, Shoshana as well, like she says that, both feet in, not 1 foot out, 1 foot in. And both feet in, they were just like, boom, like both arms doing all the poses, like full out, like 100%, 110%. And then when you'd watch it too, you'd be like, wow, like those were the more attractive ones. Those were the more like ones your eyes were drawn to. Those were more the ones that were you like felt something from as well. And I swore to myself then and there, I remember, and I was like, I want to go full out. I want to be the one that goes whoosh instead of, like a little hands out. And yeah, that was like a pivotal moment for me to be like, right, I'm not going to be like, you know, just kind of trying to crawl through the world small. But that's it's so fascinating that it is such a deep wound for a lot of people, isn't it? And then I love that you said that you create the safe space that they need for that, because it is so important for us to then feel safe when we are stepping out, because otherwise it's just going to deepen it, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I remember as well, like is there postures that you do through your somatic work now that you encourage to like hold for a longer time to open up more, or is it more like little bits of daily work, like a consistency thing? Like, how do you find is the most effective for most people? Is it different for everyone?
Yeah, it depends, and it's different for everyone, you know. Even though I'm creating a group coaching program right now, because I do want to help more women, and my time is so limited,
yeah,
I, you know, do in-person work with somatic, you know, touch and everything. But it depends. It's, you know, if I'm working with grief, it's very different than if I'm working with resentment or anger, or you know, like walking on eggshells and feeling like, you know, my client was saying like my whole existence feels like it's like, you know, a bother, you know, that she grew up like that all her life. So that's very different than, and also there's layers. Like I like to peel off the layers of like the grief and the shame, right? You cannot go from that space to like expand, you know. So I like to bring them to like this neutral, regulated space. So it's like the pre-work and then from the neutral to expansion. If that makes
sense. Yeah, totally. Because that neutral space would help them with that safety feeling too, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's not safe. And it's like the affirmations, you know, that's why affirmations sometimes don't work, because like you're like, I'm worthy. Yeah, well, you're not, if you're not feeling it, you know, it's like gaslighting yourself. And it's like, I'm doing all these affirmations. Why am I not more confident? Why don't I have the love of my life? Or why don't I have more money? Because like your body's screaming that you're actually not being, you know, you're not in your truth, like you're not embodying it, right? Yeah. So that's why I like this deep work. And really, even with affirmations, I like my clients create their own as we go through the journey. They just come through as they move and as they heal. So
Oh, juicy. Thank you so much. I love this. Ooh, let's dive into more intimacy. When you are more embodied and also like connecting with someone intimately, let's sex, or if it's not sex, like just, you know, getting a bit more intimate with someone. Do you teach on that as well at all? Like, is it how to deepen that, how to feel more safe in that? Like, what's your take on that with women?
I think the more you heal and the more you feel safe within your body, the safer you feel when it comes to intimacy. But there's so many types of intimacy, right? When you say intimacy, sex. And I think there's this emotional intimacy, intellectual intimacy, you know, being that, having those different connection points, really it all fits into the sexual intimacy. Yeah. And one thing that I really dived into the last few years is more tantric work, like really breathing together and co-regulating together, just really landing in your bodies and in each other's energies and like breathing together, connecting. And I think that more I see women heal and, you know, land in their own body, know how to regulate, then it's the next step is learning to co-regulate. Right, whether you're going through an argument with your partner or you're initiating some kind of intimacy, sex, it's like, how do you come to the same page and just really land in each other's presence and connect your hearts, you know, connect heart to heart. So there's a lot more layers and levels before getting into the like the sex part.
Yeah.
And something that's really been changing my sex life, that, you know, my partner has a lot more experience, I would say, with relationships, because I was in a long marriage, so I didn't like get to date so much. But, you know, I've dated before a little bit and after too for a few years, but still, like, it's very different for us right now, coming together from his experience and the work I'm doing and the work he's doing right now. Since he met me last 2 years, he's been in an intensive like, done like 20 breath breaks and 2 ayahuasca journeys. I also serve, you know, psychedelics. So like he's been through so many initiations with me, and we've been through a lot of each other as well. And one of it is, our sex life. We never experienced what we have right now before with any of our partners before. And that's the reflection of our intimacy with ourselves, you know, like healing work. And it's just reflected in our sex life, and it's so juicy, but at the same time so safe and like connected and landed. And I realize how our minds are so wired, like how we are so wired to like focus on the other person and try to form or have all these ideas of like what men like and what women like and just try to do that to each other. And it's like, no, like, do you feel me? Let's feel each other, feel where we are right now. And yeah, it's very transformative work. I mean, I can, this is another whole podcast.
Yeah, it is. We dove into it a little bit late. Yeah.
If you want sex life, change your, work on your definitely feeling safe in your body, communication. Yeah. You know, especially for women, I think I definitely went along with things so many times before in my life. Now I'm like, no, I'm not ready for that. Or no, I would like this. I would like that. Really asking for like what I really desire. Mm-hmm. And for me, like you're saying, we're hiding and this and that. And there was a lot of shame when it came to my sensuality and sexuality. So now that like I peel those layers off, it's like I can like open my heart and just like really be in my like divine feminine energy and like really have what I want without like trying to please him or anything like that, right?
Yeah.
In both ways. And it's so magical when you actually communicate and tell each other what you want, because men want to please us and they want to feel like they're, you know, they are capable and they like it makes them so happy to please us, but we're so scared to ask for what we want, and it's creating this disconnection, right? Yeah. So the more you actually communicate what you want and what you don't want, the happier they get, because they're like, oh, okay, like you're giving me the instructions, right? Like exactly. Like what do you a lot of we expect men to read our minds, and unfortunately they can't,
you know? It's so true. So
you get to tell them, you get to ask her what you want. And that was a big, big shift for me when it came to my sex life.
I think that also takes that level of obviously knowing what you want, which is probably the starting point for some when they, have been trying to do the pleasing act for a while there. So powerful. I remember the breathing part too when we started practicing that. That was incredible. Just like sinking it, even just something simple like that, you're like, wow, okay, I took it to another level. We'll have to wrap it up now, but thank you so much. I want to be mindful of your time. Do you want to tell them if they want to get in touch with you, get a one-on-one online, or even if they're in the area?
Yeah, I do have a few in-person private clients, and I do some big events. You know, I have one coming up April 3rd in Miami Beach, Sagamore Hotel. We're doing like a Wellness Wednesday. That's, you know, going to be monthly, I think. So I'm in Miami, I'm in Delray Beach locally. And they can reach out to me at like my, I'm on my Instagram. I'm such an Instagram girl. So I am Olivia Sage on Instagram. So, and I have like, if you're not local, I have a one-on-one program where I work intimately with people, with women, mostly. It's called Path of the Heart. So we walk this path of the heart together. And I help you come home to yourself, to your body, to heal, and, you know, to transform your relationship with yourself, which in turn will transform your relationship with everything else, your partner, money, life.
Oh, thank you so much. And if you reach out, I'm sure they'll get so much value. You're incredible.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Again, incredible human being. I just love doing this podcast because I get to connect with such incredible beings, just like Olivia. Her tips, her stories just really moved me as well. And I resonated so much with her story and what she's been through, and like kind of similar emotional shifts that we had throughout these stories, even though they kind of came and looked different from the outside. We found the same things in the end. So that was really powerful. Now again, remember releasetorevive.com. So jump on there to see the Wild Brave Heart somatic journey.
$96, you get to tap into you again, find your courageous soul, get some hypnotic tracks, plug them in your ears, listen to them while you sleep, get moving into your body, regulate your nervous system, show your body it's safe. And really, it's like a mind-blowing toolkit for only that much, $96. Jump in now before the prices rise. And there's a magic magnetic me, I'll just have to rename it, where it's a 4-week mentorship happening in June. And guys, you're going to ignite your fire. We're eliminating your feminine focus and really tapping into that for all areas of your life. So to make life more easeful for you, to make it more fun, more delicious and juicy and less like rigidity, stagnant, feeling like you're doing the same thing again and again. Enough of that. All right. Magnetic me, let's go. Mentorship. And I'm giving the first 3 women that jump in, so be quick, a free t-shirt as well with the Breathe and Be Brave logo on it. So super fun. You can decide what style you want. Yeah. DM me. The Instagram links is Jackie Gith. So at Jackie Gith. Or you can also screenshot this episode if you found it helpful. Send it to me, tag me, or just post it on your stories. Let me know so I can see who's listening and look at you and just connect and love on you. Let's go. Breathe and be brave, my friends.